Joining us now is friend of the program and your friend, too, on CBS 4 Denver. You can follow him at Justin Adams TV. Justin Adams, thanks for the time tonight, my friend. I know you are hosting the morning news program, so appreciate sneaking a little time.
I appreciate it, Sean. You know, it's only for an hour, so I figure I could, you know, I have some time to get it done. So, you know, it's going to be a whole lot of fun either way. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, hey, I trust your judgment on that. I'm a night owl guy. The mornings are not my thing, so I don't know how you're doing both. The Denver Broncos now, okay, are finally supposedly going to play the Patriots on Sunday. The Patriots had another positive test of former Broncos center James Ferentz, who is with them now. They were waiting on a second, and it appears that the NFL's just going to kind of go for it and hope for the best. Are you comfortable with that if you're the Broncos? Have you waited long enough and you just want to play?
Oh, no, no, no. You're not comfortable about it at all. I mean, the reality is that what have we seen? What we've seen other teams play with positive COVID tests. Well, let's just go back with the, I don't know, New England Patriots. In the last game that they played, well, they played up against Kansas City, and, you know, Stephen Gilmore leaves. He has COVID when Cam Newton has tested positive for the coronavirus just a couple of days before. And then you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes who is legitimately worried about if he's going to test positive. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs have a practice squad quarterback. He tested positive for COVID-19. So you can't feel comfortable if you are, but that's just the reality of the season. If you weren't comfortable with this condition and things that are and the ways that things are going around, especially with the coronavirus, you should have opted out before the year. And I get it. Like, I understand where, you know, guys just want to play. They want to be able to, you know, make money to support their family. They want to do what they love. But at the same time, this is the risk that you take when you didn't opt out before the season began.
Vic Fangio today, who I think has shown really a lot of leadership in the last 2 weeks when this postponement, the issue with Melvin Gordon and his suspected DUI, and then the who knows what now finding today with another test that maybe this is going to happen. Maybe it'll be Monday. Maybe it'll be Tuesday. Who knows? But Fangio got out in front of it today and specifically said that, and I'm paraphrasing, that a lot of people have it worse. A lot of people have had their lives completely upended by this. We haven't missed any paychecks. Really, we're lucky, and we just have to find a way to deal with it. To me, I thought that was a bit of a breath of fresh air because, understandably, the Broncos are frustrated. But that kind of perspective is pretty valuable to hear from the coach, isn't it?
100%. And you know what we forget a lot of times as well is that we forget wisdom. Like, it's interesting when you look at Vic Fangio, his coaching record so far. There's been several decisions he's made. I mean, you look at the first game of this year. You look at the timeouts and the faux pas that he had there. But when you look at times like this, times of extreme crisis that's going on, to hear the wisdom that is coming out of his mouth is, like you said, it is refreshing. And it's true. They haven't missed a paycheck. Guys have not missed a paycheck at all. Guys are still able to, again, support their families and play the game that they love. There are people out there who legitimately have lost their income. And we've seen that. We saw that once the pandemic ended, or the pandemic began, and we see it as it's still continuing right now. We see restaurants and how they have to adjust and the numbers that gone down. You know, we both like to work out and exercise. We see gyms gone down, right? And so everybody has had to adjust, and this is just something else that the Broncos will have to do. But at the end of the day, they're not missing a paycheck, and that's one of the most important things for these guys out there.
Losing the bye is frustrating, but we talked about that last week with Nick Ferguson, who obviously played in the league for a long time, and you played as well at the University of Colorado. The idea of having a little extra time, he looked at it and said, yeah, I get losing the bye. That's unfortunate. But at the same time, you were a team that was really beaten up, and now you're going to get your starting quarterback back. You're going to get your running back back. You may get your tight end back. In the end, maybe this is not only an okay thing for the Broncos, maybe this is a good thing for the Broncos.
It's a great thing for the Broncos. And let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. The Broncos have one of the worst offenses in the NFL. I mean, they're one of the bottom offenses in every metric in the league. And so to be able to say, hey, we won the last game against the Jets on October 1st, and now we're able to get healthy to get all these guys back, especially in a year where, let's be honest, it's not about making a Super Bowl. It's about finding out if Drew Lock is the guy. So to only lose him for two games, and to now get him back against the New England Patriots and hopefully for the rest of the season, that's everything that you can ask for. And so you know, the hope is that guys will continue to stay healthy. You don't like using the bye week this early, but with the injuries that the Broncos had, I can't argue that. I mean, this may be the best time for them to have a bye if you really look at it.
So they expect to get a little bit healthier. You get Drew Lock back. Earlier in the week, I said that as far as I'm concerned, learning to see if Drew Lock is the guy is the single most important question that the Broncos have to face. And if they get him back and it didn't cost them a game to do so, that's probably all for the better when it comes down to it. When you look at Drew Lock as a quarterback, I'm going to give you some numbers. Over the course of his career, and we know it's not a very long one thus far, but balls that go more than 20 or more yards past the line of scrimmage, he is 5 for 24 with one touchdown and one interception. That completion rate is below 21%. And in 7 attempts this season before he got hurt, he only hit Cortland Sutton once. Now, we understand that obviously that's not a high percentage throw either. At the same time, he's near the bottom of the league as well since he's come into the league. And when you look at a guy like Drew Lock, who was brought into the league because of the Broncos raved about his arm strength and all the abilities to open up the defense, is it concerning to you to see such a low completion percentage? And now that he's going to be back on the field Sunday, supposedly, what do you expect to see to change it? How do you go about that?
You give your guys a chance to catch the ball. It's interesting that this week that he mentioned what Brett Rippon did, and how he learned from Brett Rippon, a guy who we're not going to stand up here and say he has a stronger arm than Drew Lock. We all know that he doesn't. But the one thing that Brett Rippon has done in that game, he gave his guys a shot to catch the football. He gave Jerry Jeudy a chance to catch the ball. We all know that wasn't the best deep ball in the world, but he gave his receiver a chance to make a play. Well, Drew Lock has to do the same thing. We can go all the way back to what happened in game number one, where you look at the end of the ball game, you have, you know, Deshaun Hamilton wide open, and I mean wide open at NFL standards, and you not only overthrow him, you throw the ball out the end zone, right? You know, and people will rave and say, wow, look at that arm strength. Well, at the end of the day, nobody cares about your arm strength if you're not connecting with your receiver downfield. And that's the one thing that he has to do. Give your guys an opportunity to make plays. John Elway made all these investments in wide receivers, picking up Hamler, who's not going to play, picking up Jerry Jeudy as well in the first round. Like, give these guys an opportunity to make plays downfield. And you know what? If you don't, especially against the Patriots and Bill Belichick, you're not going to go out of Foxborough with a win. So you got to make sure you get that done.
Looking at Locke's ability to throw there, when you break down his numbers, out of the guys that were drafted in that 2019 class and the five top guys that were picked, when it comes to 1 to 10 yards past the line of scrimmage, the short game, Drew Locke's quarterback rating is the best of the bunch. And that includes Kyler Murray. It includes Daniel Jones. It includes Dwayne Haskins, all first round picks. And when you get between 11 and 19, his completion percentage is only behind Gardner Minshew's. But dead last at that long one. Is this about, we know we saw him do it in Missouri. Is this about maybe making sure you don't have happy feet, that you work on your mechanics, that you step up in the pocket to deliver that throw in a way that maybe your arm strength allows you to throw an off-balance throw or find a way to get it done in a fashion on those shorter throws where Drew Lock can just kind of whip it from the elbow and he's strong enough to do it. But those deep passes require a little more accuracy and a little more of a whole body movement.
Sometimes when you have great arm strength, it's one of the worst things that you could have, especially when you can just whip the ball downfield without having proper mechanics. Now, there are times when you need to, where you have to go make plays off schedule, you have to get outside the pocket, throw the ball downfield, make things happen. I mean, we've seen the greats do it, right? John Elway, Aaron Rodgers, you go down the list, they all were able to get outside the pocket and make things happen. Brett Favre, right? But at the same time, they all had really good fundamentals to make things happen downfield as well and to be accurate with the throws. For Drew Lock, what was one of the biggest reasons why he wasn't a first-round draft pick was because of his happy feet. It wasn't because of his arm strength. It wasn't even because of his knowledge of the game of football. It was because of his happy feet, not setting his feet, throwing the ball off to his back foot. I remember in training camp in his rookie season, he had several throws, and I mean a lot of throws, where he's throwing the ball off his back foot to the flats. It's like, dude, what are you doing, you know? And it's also about driving the ball as well, right? It's about being able to be accurate going downfield. So if he could do that, have the confidence to stay in the pocket, or even if you do get outside the pocket, set your feet, throw an accurate ball, and give your guys a chance to be able to make plays downfield. I'll say this, with Cortland Sutton being out, the one guy who could have a big day and also a big year, to be honest, isn't Jerry Jeudy. It's Tim Patrick. I think we saw something against the Jets, and Tim Patrick could be that guy who could be really your number two receiver. You really don't have a one right now. He has the size. He's tall. He's big. He's able to jump up and get those 50-50 balls right now. And that's the guy that I believe that Drew Lock will start to throw the ball at.
We're talking with Justin Adams of CBS4. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And I'm glad you brought up Tim Patrick. In the last two games, 156 receiving yards, a pair of touchdowns. But now he's likely to get Stephon Gilmore. And Gilmore may end up not being specifically on Patrick. He may be on Judy at times. But now you're talking about making that leap. And you played tight end, so you've been out on that receiving side. When you get a bit of a good vibe, and now people are paying a little bit of attention to you, now you get a Gilmore, how do you make sure you prepare yourself that you don't just get smothered by a guy that's that talented?
You hope you get a whole lot of rub routes. You start off in motion so he can't jam you at the line. You ask your coach to put you in different positions on the line. You go in the slot, especially if you're a wide receiver, right? You go from the slot. You go into, you know, wide out. You try to get easy receptions. But the big thing for him is, look, you're taller. You're bigger. Use your size. Ask for more jump balls. If you're not able to go and get wide open with your releases at the line, then get more opportunities for you to get the ball at the highest point. And that could be one of the things that Tim Patrick can do. And by the way, Tim Patrick, he has sneaky good speed. That's the one thing that can help him against Stephon Gilmore, is that he has that sneaky speed. So we'll see what happens. But we both know the Patriots always look at one player, and they take him out the offense. They look at one guy. So it could be Jerry Jeudy, where we're going to go and double him up. I think this week they're going to look at Tim Patrick, especially if Noah Fant doesn't play, and say, we're going to take him out the game. And let's go and see what Jerry Jeudy, a rookie, can do on his own. I think, actually, that Stephon Gilmore will be paired up against Jerry Jeudy. And then you go and have a double team on Tim Patrick. And then you say, hey, where are you going to attack us, Broncos? This is why the Broncos have to run the football. I come back to that a whole lot. The Broncos only average 92 rushing yards a game. They got to run the ball this week, because if they don't, then they're going to have their passing game taken away easily.
Yeah, it does play right into the Patriots' hands. On the defensive side of it, we saw that it seems like forever ago, but when the Broncos played the Jets, and I know it was the Jets, but you saw the team blitz on defense more than they have really since Vic Fangio came into town. They were far more aggressive. They went quarterback hunting, and it paid off. Even though they wouldn't get the turnovers, they had two that could have been caught. It seemed to be a better fit for this Broncos defense and the personnel on it. Would you be afraid to do that again to Cam Newton?
No, because what was the blitz? The blitz a lot was, yeah, you had, you know, Alexander Johnson a couple of times blitz, but the reality is it was Josie Jewell that was the guy who was able to get 10 tackles, 2 sacks in the game, right? So my game plan would be this. If you're going to blitz anybody, blitz Josie Jewell and then have Alexander Johnson be the guy that is your spy against Cam Newton. Because, again, like we saw with Sam Darnold in the first quarter, where a lot of guys made business decisions, where Sam Darnold ran 40 yards plus into the end zone, you have a guy, Cam Newton, that will make you make business decisions. And he will hurt you if he breaks contain out of the pocket as well. So you got to be sure that, yes, you got to go blitz. You got to go and generate some pressure. But at the same time, you have to make sure that you get a guy like Alexander Johnson who will be your spy, because he has the speed to keep up and to get to Cam Newton in the backfield.
I have to change gears, because this is something that you and I talked about before you came on today. The Denver Nuggets put out it's in the offseason, and teams do this trying to get a little bit of attention and keep the excitement going. A little thing on Twitter with 5 different players saying, you know, who's your favorite Nugget of all time? Well, it listed Alex English, the team's all-time leading scorer. Dikembe Mutombo, of course, the defensive specialist and basically living legend. Nikola Jokic, of course, of today's Nuggets team. The local legend Chauncey Billups. And Nick Van Exel. What?
Exactly. And everybody's losing their mind because Carmelo Anthony wasn't put on there. Let me just say this out front. When people say, should Carmelo Anthony's jersey be retired? I get it. He didn't lead the Nuggets to a finals, didn't lead the Nuggets to a championship. All I know is this. In 2003, the Nuggets were terrible. To the point that if somebody gave you tickets to a game, it was offensive. As in, it was like, it's a waste of time. Why would I want to watch this team, go to the Pepsi Center and watch this team? When Carmelo Anthony stepped on the court, they immediately were a playoff team every year that Melo was here, and changed the face of the Nuggets from a league standard nationwide. Everybody wanted to watch this team. It was a great rivalry between the Nuggets and the Lakers as well. So Carmelo Anthony, when you look at a guy who you ask, should he have his jersey retired? Of course you should. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's not act like the Nuggets have this great lineage of basketball players and they've won all these championships like they're the Lakers or something like that, okay? But on the other end, I have to say this, Sean, I am a bit disappointed. Because even though they put Nick FedExel up, I know some people could say, okay, maybe you put Dan Issel there. And okay, I understand that, right? You can even say Kiki Vandeweghe. But for me, I want Nicholas Skivisvili. That's what I want. I want Skivisvili up there. I want a guy, actually, my number one guy, can we get Rafe LaFritz up there? I need Rafe LaFritz to be one of the guys that I mentioned. Main reason why is because I want Nuggets fans to always be reminded about the worst draft pick in franchise history, especially when Vince Carter was right there for you. I think that's the 97 draft. I remember it like it was yesterday at the Nichols Arena. Everybody, and I mean everybody, knew that Vince Carter was going to be the next guy, a superstar, and the Nuggets would have picked up Rafe LaFritz. Are you kidding me?
And they skipped his teammate, Paul Pierce, too.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, you could even got Antoine Jameson have been better at that, right?
Yeah.
But if you get Vince Carter, think about that team, okay? You put Nick Van Exel at the point. You have Vince Carter. And, oh, by the way, you have primetime Antonio McDice. It's not a big three, but goodness sakes, at least you're sniffing the playoffs every year. So, my beautiful Nuggets, man, just always loving to make a mistake. And so they were able to get people to definitely talk on Twitter, not including Carmelo Anthony. But I would have took out Nick FedExel and put Rachel Fritz up there just to make everybody lose their mind.
you can tell we're local guys when we can have that conversation, or we can go to Blair Rasmussen or Marcus Liberty or something like that. But, I mean, they didn't put Fat Lever. His number's retired. I mean, really?
Right.
No,
right.
Okay. Whatever. This is why I don't work
Michael
in social
Adams,
media.
Robert Pack? Do we have to go down to Rodney Rogers? I mean, he was one of my favorites. He's not one of the greatest, but one of my favorite players over there. I mean, there's so many guys you could have put on that list. How about LaFonso Ellis?
Right.
Like, come on, man. What are we talking about, Nuggets? Come on, man. Do better than that.
Yeah. Or miss by the Nuggets, who had a very good season, but you can't get them all, I guess. Justin Adams is the man at CBS4. Make sure you catch him in the AM is hosting the news. He's been doing a lot of that, so we're always lucky to get him on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV, and appreciate the time, my friend. Have a wonderful weekend, and hopefully next week, maybe we can sit down and actually talk about a Bronco game.
Yeah, that'll be fun. As long as COVID, stay away. Just please, please stay away, COVID. Take care.
All right, take care, Justin. Thanks a bunch.